John chapter 20. And when you find that, stand, we'll read our text. John chapter 20. We are closing in on finishing this great book, which is actually, like that song says, a bittersweet. It's a blessing to have made it through and to have been blessed with the journey, but to come to the end is kind of a sad thing. But we do have a great chapter to finish with, chapter 21. Today will be our last message in chapter 20, which is verse 30 and 31. Really kind of a carryover of what he's saying in the previous verses. So let's start in verse 26. Our text is 30 and 31, but we'll take a running start at it beginning in verse 26. And after 8 days, again, the disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy fingers and behold thy hands, my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Don't you love those words, "my Lord and my God"? Recognize Jesus was who he said he was. He's God. Verse number 29. Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me and hast believed, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." That's you and me. Verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these things are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. You know, really, these verses are what many consider the thesis of the book of John. Because in two verses, John said the purpose or the reason that he wrote the book. He said, "These things are written so that people would get saved." Amen. You know what's pretty exciting is there's a lot of people here who got saved through the preaching, through the process of John in the past 2 or 3 years. We've been in John. You got saved. Well, that's not because of me. That's because of the gospel. And that's the purpose of this great book. So I'm looking forward to what we have today in the message. You might wonder, "Pastor, what's the deal with the shovel? What's the deal with the..." I wish I could get my hands on a shopping cart. I wanted to do that. I wanted to steal one from one of the grocery stores, but I figured that would be a bad testimony. Brother Chad offered me one that was about this big, yellow, red, and blue, you know, little tiny one, but I might distract more than what we're trying to do here. But a shopping cart and a shovel. We'll talk about that today. Father, I pray your blessings. Help us to understand your word, to be touched by your spirit. We need you. We need your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. We have a lot of work to do, don't we? The more you watch the news, which I would recommend that you don't do a lot of that, but do some of it, but not a lot of it. The more you realize, wow, we're in a mess. We need some help. We need the gospel. We need to somehow get the gospel to Washington and to the world. But let's just start right here in Fall City, because I think you might realize this too. There's a lot of people that are right here within arm's length of us, some of us, literally arm's length of us, that need to hear the gospel. And so let's just keep doing what we're doing, preaching the gospel. But really, that's why we're here. Sunday night, I get mixed up about what my last sermons were. I was thinking maybe it was Wednesday, but it was last Sunday. We did a message titled, "We're in this together. We're in this together." We're really on the same team, you know. We're not working against each other, or at least we shouldn't be. We're in it together. It reminds me of a story that I read, and I think I've said this before, but it's worth repeating. It's just that classic, you know. But there was a farmer who came up on back in the old days, no cars. So there was a carriage that had gotten stuck in the mud, and he was really stuck. And so this farmer showed up, and he had his horse, Buddy. And so Buddy, big strapping horse, and so the farmer hooked the horse up to the carriage to pull it out of the mud. And right whenever he was getting ready to pull this horse, or rather used this horse to pull this carriage out. He hollered out to the horse, pull, Tommy, pull. And then Buddy didn't move. And then he goes on and he said, pull, Buster, pull. But Buddy didn't pull. And then he goes on and he said, pull, Nelly, pull. But what was the horse's name? Buddy. Buddy didn't move. It's a great joke whenever you forget all the names, right? Too much names here. It's like my kids. Ethan, Andrew, okay, I forget. Just you. Come here. Well, anyway, Buddy didn't move. And then finally, the farmer, after saying three names that wasn't the name of the horse, he said, pull, Buddy, pull. And then Buddy pulled that carriage easily out of the mud. And the, you know, the person, the bystander the farmer had helped, wondered, why did you say three wrong names before you said the right one? And the farmer said, well, you know, Buddy's blind, and I didn't want him to think he was doing it all by himself. So Buddy had some strength, though. He needed to feel like he wasn't all alone. Well, you know, there is truth to knowing God's with you, but it sure is a blessing when you're not alone. We helped Miss Marilyn do some moving last week. Was it Thursday? It would have been Thursday. And so we loaded up the back of the church van, headed to Iowa for a load of many to come that we're going to try to get her transferred from here to her new dwelling there in Iowa. And so we got things loaded up in the back, and she had handed off a stack of these bulletins to us just to take a look at. And these bullets, she kept the bulletins. I don't know if you keep all of the bulletins from then until now, but all the bulletins. Amen. That's pretty special. That's pretty amazing right there. But anyway, the first bulletins when I became the pastor, which was pretty neat. So in these bulletins, we put the attendance. And the Sunday, it would have been like within the first 2 weeks of me becoming the pastor, the Sunday morning attendance was 14. It's right in the bulletin, and six of those is just my family. So we made up almost half of the church, and I'm telling you, one of them's in diapers. Andrew is crawling under the pews or running on top of the pews back and forth. So it was exciting times. You know, I think, what was that? It still is. Yeah, amen. I wish he was in here. Anyway, so we sometimes, at least in those days, we had those feelings like maybe we're doing this alone, but when you feel like you're in it together, it's quite different. Did you know that we have a mission to get the gospel to the world, and we're in it together? We've been talking about that, but note this. It matters how we get the gospel to the world. The end doesn't justify the means. You know how the world says, well, as long as we get there, it doesn't matter what we do to get there. No, it does matter that we get there, get the gospel out to the world, but it also matters how we get there. So the process matters. And really that's what John is saying here. He indicates the purpose of his book to get the gospel to the world. That's clear to see. But he also indicated by implication and almost by like directly saying it, there's some things that he didn't do or that he didn't say because it wasn't necessary. It didn't contribute. It didn't bring him to the point or the purpose that he was trying to make. So, well, how can we say that? Well, that's verse 30. Look what it says. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, but it doesn't stop there. It says, which are not written in this book. So here's what John is saying. He's hand-selected the miracles and passages that he used to write the book and to tell the stories to tell in his book, because they contributed to the overall point that he was trying to get across. He hand-selected them. Now, let me say a few words about miracles, because there's plenty of confusion in the world about miracles themselves. First, one author said this, and listen to what he said closely. I'm going to quote it to you because I can't say it better. He says, to ignore, deny, or rationalize the miracles, rationalize meaning explain them away, in that day was impossible. Now, we could do that today because, not legitimately, if you're true to the linguistic form and to history, you could try to rationalize it, but you're not being honest. In that day, it couldn't be rationalized. That's what he's saying. People there were there to see it. But he goes on, that day was impossible because the miracles were manifold and manifest, meaning people saw these things. Okay, so that's first. Second, the outward miracles themselves were not a part of anyone's salvation. Now, we could go on and on about that, but let it be enough to say miracles in that day nor today, which is what I'm going to say in a minute, are not a part of anybody's salvation. Amen and amen. Third, although we still serve a miracle-working God, and we, I think for the most part, many of us in here have seen God do miraculous things through answering prayers and working in our hearts. I remember the day when Grant was 6 weeks old and he was low oxygen. His oxygen level was 60 and going lower. He was turning colors, the shades of light blue, turning dark blue. It was really awful. We rushed him to the ER at Children's Mercy in Kansas City, or actually to St. Joe, and they med-flight him, and we rushed in the car, speeding, and God's grace was with us. But we got there, and we prayed the whole time, putting him in God's hands, and he was well when we got there. He was well. He was happy. And we felt that in that moment, we experienced not only a blessing from God, but a miracle from the Lord. And that happened so quickly. I remember a man in St. Joe who was in a motorcycle accident. They were doing over 100 miles per hour. He was a passenger on a motorcycle, and a car in front of them hit the brakes. They hit the back of the car. He flew over the front of the car, and they had to. He was in the wheel well of a semi whenever the medics got there. Now listen to this. He not only survived this, but he's married and has children today. And we prayed. Remember that? We prayed and prayed and prayed. It was a miracle he survived. And look at, he's living a normal life today. That was a blessing from God. It was a miracle from God. So we can't say that God doesn't do miracles today. He's a miracle-working God. The question that I feel like need to answer is, can we perform miracles today? That's the question. Miracles being performed as signs and wonders are not for today. They had a specific purpose in Bible times. What was that? To confirm the Word of God. The Word of God wasn't complete yet. It was being written. It was being God was giving the Scripture. So Jesus. Let me give you two things. One, I'll read a verse to you, and then I'll tell you an example here. In Matthew chapter 7, don't turn there, but Jesus finishes the Sermon on the Mount. Remember, the greatest sermon ever preached by Christ, chapter 5 through 7 in Matthew. At the end of the sermon, the Bible says that those that were listening said they'd never heard anyone speak with such authority. What does that mean? Well, that's important because what Jesus was saying, no one had ever heard before. It was in that sense, it was new. It was like new scripture. It was authoritative. And the implication was that Jesus wasn't reading from anything. He was speaking the Word of God. Well, I have authority in what I'm saying, but I'm not speaking revelation. I'm not giving you new words of God. I'm preaching to you something that you're reading along with me. It's authoritative because we have the completed Word of God. Jesus was speaking the Word of God, therefore the Word of God wasn't completed yet. How did they know that it had authority? The miracles followed. So Matthew 7, he preached with authority. All of Matthew chapter 8, guess what he does? Miracle, 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 all through Matthew chapter 8. And it confirms the Word of God. Now, that's an example. It literally says that in Mark 16:20. You don't have to turn there. You can mark this. But listen to what it says to close the book of Mark. It says, they went forth, speaking of the disciples, preaching everywhere, the Lord working with them. Now notice this. Confirming the word with signs following. So the word was preached, the word was declared, the word was written, and it was confirmed with the miracles. Well, would have been the purpose of performing of miracles in Bible times. The Word of God wasn't complete, but now the Word of God's complete. So you read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and it clearly indicates that the signs, wonders, and miracles being performed by men as a way of confirming the Word of God has ceased. It doesn't need to happen like that anymore. God still does miracles, and we pray and ask God to perform miracles, but we don't perform miracles. And the reason why is because we don't need to. We have the Holy Ghost who works in our heart, which, by the way, the greatest miracle of all is salvation. And how did you get saved? Well, it wasn't because somebody performed a miracle or because you performed a miracle or any miracle was performed. Your salvation was the miracle working touch of the Holy Ghost in your heart. And so that's the meaning of miracles in Bible times and the meaning of them today. And that is they have ceased. Although God still performs miracles, it's not a way of confirming the Word of God because the Word of God is complete. John's point was that he did not write the book to wow the people about Jesus' miracles. He didn't write the book to point people to Jesus being an amazing, miracle-working God. His purpose was different. His purpose was that people would get saved. Clearly said in verse 31, look at it. And these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. So He selected, hand-selected, by the way, only a small portion of the script, of the miracles so that people might believe. That was His primary purpose, bringing people to salvation. We, I think as human beings, are so easily distracted, aren't we? We get off-topic so easy. I can't even tell you. This is like a mental block that I have sometimes. Maybe some of you can relate to this, but you're in the middle of a story, and that story makes you think of another story, so you sort of get on that, but then you forget the first story you were telling. I do that while I'm telling illustrations at church. And I'm like, man, what did I start this for? I mean, where was I going with this? Well, it's sort of like, how many of you have ever seen the greatest children's movie of all time, The Emperor's New Groove? Anybody ever seen that? So there's an awkward moment in there, and conversation, and I don't recall because I didn't look it up, but conversation going on between two is an awkward sort of moment. And Kronk spoke up, and he's trying to change the subject, and he says, "Take a look at that sky. Talk about blue." You know, trying to change the subject. Well, here's what Paul is saying here. For those, like, two people laugh because they're the ones that have seen it. Everybody needs to watch this movie. You're not going to understand my sermons if you don't watch that movie. So here's what John is saying. He's saying, I have a very particular purpose in what I'm trying to communicate with this sermon, with this book. And there's a lot of things that I could say, but these things would be distracting. They would be getting off the topic or sort of getting us away from the main purpose. Sort of like rabbit trails, you know. And not that any of these things aren't true, or things like any miracle that Jesus did would have been true. It would have been a powerful proof. But to say these things would have not have contributed to the point that John was making. So here's what I want you to see, that it was okay to leave some things out. Why? Because there was a reason for the book so that people would get saved. Now think about it as it relates to us today. As a church, it's perfectly okay that there are things that we don't do. It's perfectly okay as a church that there are things that we don't get involved with because it's not the reason that we're here. Okay, why are we here? Well, to get the same reason, to get the gospel into the world. A lot of churches today, can I say, operate like businesses. And so the focus then could be, what can we do to please people so that we can reach people by offering things so that we can get people in here? I remember when I was... this would have been several years ago, I did P90X. Anybody ever know or remember that? Okay, some more people smiling. It's a workout program, and if you make it through it, then yeah, you'll be superhuman, but you have to be superhuman to be able to do it. So there's no intermediate. There's nobody in my shape who's starting off with this program. So anyway, one of the things on there is yoga, and you know, I didn't know what yoga was. I never even heard of it. But it's this weird thing where you put your body in all kinds of weird positions, stretching. And so, you know, I made attempts at that. which is embarrassing. If you had video, then you could probably bribe me to show some of that process there. But anyway, there are churches who offer yoga classes. There are churches that offer sporting, training classes. There are churches that offer, all of these events to the community, you see. Now, if you want to be involved with a yoga class or a sporting event class or any kind of class, I mean, obviously, there's nothing wrong with that. But whenever the church is offering these classes and there are wings of the building that are devoted to these particular ministries, it could be that we are getting away from, further away from the reason why we're here by doing those things. Now, I understand there's a balance because there's some things that we do and it's an activity, it really contributes to the overall purpose. But I'm saying there are some things that we could do, some community involvements that wouldn't really be maybe personally, individually, people getting involved with, but us as a church getting involved with and devoting some of our resources to be involved with these things would be dangerous because we're starting to operate more like a business, consumer-minded business, than a church that has one purpose, one primary reason for being here. Okay? There's a danger for what John's talking about, involving or putting things in there that don't really belong there. Well, that's, in a larger context, as it relates to our church, that's still a danger for us today. And there's a lot of, can I say the word temptation about this? Now, I'm not saying that I'm being asked or there's a lot of people, even in our church, who are coming to me saying, hey, Pastor, we need to be involved with this and we need to do this. And if you come and you have an idea or something you'd like as a church to be involved with, I welcome for you to come and present it and I'll pray about it. We'll certainly seek the Lord about it. But I can't guarantee you that what you're encouraging or asking is something that we're going to do as a church. You individually, yes, but us as a church and investing our time and resources in these things in the community, at times the reason why we wouldn't do that is because it's not why we're here. It's not the purpose, not why we're here. Brother Davison was with us for a revival, would have been last April, which was a tremendous revival. In fact, every revival we have is pretty amazing. But anyway, he was here, we're sitting in the office, and he asked me a question, blindsided me with a question I wasn't really ready for, especially from him. He said these words. He said, so what are you doing in the community? Now, I didn't expect him to say that. The words come out of his mouth, I was like, wait a second. Is Sam Davison in my office right now? Because it kind of felt like he was expecting that I would say, well, we're doing this community action and we're doing this, where our fingers are in the community and these particular events. And maybe it sounded like he was hopeful that I would say that. But here's what I said. When he said, what are you doing in the community? I said, nothing. And he said, good. And I said, here's what we're doing in the community. We open up on Sunday and Wednesday, and we preach the Word of God. And he said, good. And then he went on what I would call a Brother Davison rant. Because he's in churches all over the country, and guys are getting involved. Pastor, I'm talking about pastors. And I'm talking about individuals in the church, which would be a vision and a heart that you would have, which is perfectly fine. Like, for example, getting involved with the public school and having classes and doing sessions there. There's nothing wrong with that. But as an extension, putting our resources over and doing that. Okay, so we would pray and we would seek the Lord, and maybe there would be a time when the Lord would lead in that direction. But really, our primary purpose for being in Falls City is to open the doors on Sunday and Wednesday, and to declare the Word of God faithfully. Okay, and so this is a common thing, not what we're doing, but it's common in the country at large, let me say it that way, for pastors to have their fingers in all of these things. And Brother Davison was asking me, he wanted my honest opinion about it, our feelings as a church, and he said, listen, now we see this in a funny way, but he means it in a serious, I think it could be both serious and funny, but he says this, he says, if you feed them, they will come. So next week when we have Fellowship Sunday, I think we're going to have extra people here. That's not what he means. feed them the Word of God. Feed the Word of God. Is there anything else that truly we need? Now, there's things that contribute and bless, encourage, is sort of undergird the strength of the delivery of the Word of God. Good music program really helps, you see. But if we fail in the delivery of the Word of God, we failed in why we're here. This is the reason we're here. That's the point he was making. But why make that point? Because there's a lot who add things. Like John says, it's okay to leave things out. Why? That's not why we're here. This is why we're here. That's the point he's making. So to leave things out, we might say, well, why don't we do this? And why don't we do that? I don't have a problem with this or that in some cases. But that's not why we're here, you see. Okay, so then what about individually? Well, this is, I think, sometimes where Christians develop a consumer mentality as a Christian. Can I say it like this? A shopping cart mentality. I wish I had a shopping cart. You know, shopping cart in the store. You could put whatever in there you want. Well, here's the my wife's excited. She loves the shopping thing. She's like, oh, I'm so excited. We're talking about shopping. Well, this is not a good kind of, anyway. So sometimes I think people bring their shopping carts to church, proverbially, you know, come into the back and they're like, well, what can I put in my cart today? What's church going to do for me today? And so we come to church with the mentality of a consumer. What is this going to do for me? And that's the shopping cart mentality. It's like my kids, whenever it's supper time, and there's meat, potatoes, which almost you don't need anything else, right? Ketchup maybe, but meat, potatoes. We have salad, you have green beans and bread, and all of us are saying amen, right? Ham, that's what we're having for lunch today. Ham, I smelled it like in the middle of the night, so that baby is going to be ready. Now I'm hungry. Anyway, so, but this meal is at the table, and my kids sit down, and they're like, and if you're in Sunday school this morning, thanketh you, Mom, for this wonderfulest meal. And they're just eloquent in their praises of Mom making her meal. Is that what kids often do? No. If they like it, they just are like animals. They'll just dig into it. And if they don't like it, in some cases, they're going to let you know. I don't like this. I don't like this meat. I don't like this potatoes. Right, Tyler? You never did that. I don't like this salad. I don't like these green beans. I'm like, okay. Well, we see our kids that way. They're not overly thankful for the food that's in front of them. They have a consumer mentality at the supper table. And so they tell you the reason why they don't like any of the things that you made, and then they ask you if they can eat Cocoa Puffs instead. We're like, no, you're not eating Cocoa Puffs. Well, I think sometimes we come, folks, Christians, unfortunately, and non-Christians too, just because this mentality is a common thing today, come to church with the shopping cart, and they want to throw things in there because they like it, and they're going to kick things out and complain about things because they don't like it. I don't like this. Why do we do that? Why aren't we doing this, and why are we over here doing this? You know, I mean, and there's all these things that they're upset about what we do or don't do, and they just want Cocoa Puffs. Church should be Cocoa Puffs, you know? That's what it should be. Because, I mean, you eat cereal and it's chocolate, and then you drink the milk, and that's chocolate too. So it's amazing. Every single part of the process is just great. And really, that's what church should be. In the minds of many, it's like our children. Asking these questions, what can this church do for me and my family? What do they offer here? And looking for something sweeter or better, you know, whenever they do experience this. And that's what I'm talking about when I say shopping. I mentioned this to my wife, and she, again, as she just did a minute ago, she's excited about the shopping carts because one of her favorite things to do is to go shopping. Ladies, you like to go shopping, lift your hand. Okay. Really? So Black Friday, raise your hand you like that day. Okay. Amen. I think we're segregated. All non-shoppers are on this side. And all the shoppers are over here. I could go on about that. We're in this together, Pastor. Let's go shopping. You know, why do people do that? Black Friday especially, what a great illustration. Who in their right mind, other than these who lifted their hand, they're not in their right mind though, who in their right mind would like to go shopping on Black Friday? Come on, it's the worst possible day you could go shopping. Listen, when you go shopping, here's how it should be. It's shopping doesn't qualify as a word to describe what I do when I go to the store, because I'm not shopping. I am on a mission. I am accomplishing something, a task, not shopping. Shopping means that you don't know some things. I am not going unless I do know. And here's what's frustrating, because I don't probably know where it is in the store, no matter what store it is. Especially, some aren't frustrating, because they move it around to mess with me, or you, because you can't find anything in there. Like, they move, you know, it used to be here, but now it's there, like an aisle over. Why would you do that? Anyway, so you're looking for it, you finally find it, you get it in the cart, you're straight to the thing, and then you're out of here. You talk to some people because, you know, God has called you to be nice to people, right? So you do all of that. Mission accomplished, the faster you're in and out. All of God's people said?
Amen.
Amen. There's like five people here who didn't do. Well, the reason why you shop is because you like to do that. Well, and you have things, you don't know what you want, and you're looking for things that, you know, get your attention. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. But there is, I think, something we would agree about, a danger in coming to church with that mentality. So that you have a shopping cart and you're looking for things that you like, and you're looking for things that you don't like about what's happening here. Now, can I say that there are some important things that when you're coming to a church or this church that you want to make sure that we got right? And that's the Word of God. But see, that's John's point. There is one reason why we're here. The main purpose, not just like you and I being assembled, but the reason why this church is in Falls City is to be a lighthouse and get the gospel to this world. And that's the point that John's making, and the danger, I think, as well, able to see. Shopping cart mentality. So he made it clear and didn't include some things because that wouldn't have been the purpose. The purpose is to get the gospel to the lost, and that was what he said his reason was. There's a great book that I'm reading, and I would encourage anybody to read. I haven't read the entire book, so if there's some views there that maybe I would disagree with, then I couldn't speak to that because I haven't completed the book. But where I am so far, it's absolutely amazing. And the book title is Keeping Your Kids on God's Side. Keeping Your Kids on God's Side by a lady named Natasha Crane. Did a fantastic job. Now, let's say that I'm reading this book, and I do read almost a chapter a day, sometimes two chapters a day. And she has 40 lessons that you need to teach your children before they leave your home. Okay, and up till now, every lesson, absolutely incredible. Okay, so what if I got to chapter 12 and the title of it was How to Make Rice Krispie Treats? Now, our children said, amen to that. Yes. Is there anything wrong with making Rice Krispie Treats? No. I mean, come on, it may be a necessity in life. But to keep you in the faith, you probably don't need to know how to make Rice Krispie Treats, you see, so we're not going to include that chapter. Or how to change your oil. That might be an important lesson too. Right, Brother Tim? How to change your oil. But that's not going to be in this book. If it was in there, I think she missed it somewhere. There's a particular purpose, and so we're not going to include every little thing. Well, that's what John is saying here. If you have a work day, and you show up with your suit on, what does that say about you? I didn't come to work today. I didn't come to do the work today. If we have a work day, we're going to work in the yard, but you have a suit on. It's sort of like the other day, we had to take the seats out of the church van so we could move Miss Marilyn. And Brother Chad and Caleb and the boys, I pulled the van up, and we're about to pull the back two seats out, which is a task all by itself. These things are heavy. And I got a phone call right whenever we were about to do it. And so I came in here, my phone conversation was about 15 minutes, and I went out and the seats were already out, and I said, mission accomplished. I successfully got out of the work. you know. And I told Brother Chad, nobody was actually even on the phone. I just was standing there pretending. I wanted to get out of the work. Well, I think sometimes that happens too. But you know what, really? If we understand our purpose, and John's made it clear, we're not going to add things in that aren't important or getting us there. Then if we're all on the same page and we're in it together, then what if we're not going to bring a shopping cart to church, what do you think we should bring? Brother Tim, good job. A shovel. And you know what this represents? We're going to lean on it. You know, that's what that represents. No, it means we're going to work. And we do have a lot of work to do. Sometimes people get upset about what we do and don't offer certain ministries. I mentioned a few things, but that's not why we're here. Why aren't our church services more contemporary? It's not why we're here. John handpicked ministries or the things that he mentioned in his book, that just like he did that, we handpicked the ministry and the things that we do. Why? To point to one end. And so I want to encourage church family, don't get upset about the things that we do and don't do. And I'm not saying that there are or aren't things that are worthy of being upset at sometimes. I'm not saying that. But as it relates to what our purpose is as a church, that you would ask God to help you to keep your eyes on the main thing so that we could stay focused on why we're here. And so when you come to church, you don't have a mentality of a shopping cart, consumer Christian, but bring your shovel. I like to go to Menards and Home Depot and anything that would fit into that category. I like to go there because I like to do things around the house. And this is sort of a recent thing. I actually have been really bad at doing construction type things until the last few years, and I started acquiring tools, and there's been some here who's bought me tools, which has been a huge blessing, and now it's like one of my very favorite things to do. So when I go to Home Depot, the Lord knows I need forgiveness sometimes for this, but I'll go and I just so bad want to go down the tools aisle, you know. I'm like, I need one of those, you know. I so bad need, capital N, keyword underlined, I need one of these, tongue in cheek. But I have my shopping cart, and I'm walking around, and I'm shopping around for the tools that I need. And maybe that was you. Maybe you just have had the shopping cart mentality. And I'm not wanting to bring condemnation on you as one who wants to be critical about things or upset or like this or want that. You know, we have our opinions about stuff, and there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. But maybe it has distracted you because you come with the mentality, it causes you to get upset about things and you forget. You forget why we're here. And you're distracted from working because you're thinking so much about what we do or don't have that you're disappointed about. So let's say you came today and you fit more in the category, not that I'm going to qualify you one as the one or the other, but I think sometimes we're all on one side or the other at times, all of us. Maybe you've struggled in some of the things that we do. And you're like, why do we do this? You know? Or maybe you've struggled in some of the things that we don't do. Why don't we do this? You know? Can I encourage you to, well, okay, so there might be some things we do need to do, and there might be some of the things that we do we need to stop. Just pray for us about it. And we can have a private meeting, you and me or anybody, and we'll talk. And that's okay, and that context is perfectly fine. But if you find that you're constantly overwhelmed and thinking about these things, probably you're not thinking about the work that we have to do, the work that we need to do, that we need to get accomplished. Get the gospel to the lost. So let me encourage you while you're shopping to go ahead and stick a shovel inside the cart. This morning, stick a shovel in there and say, you know what? I've been doing a lot more shopping than I should. And I'm going to go ahead and start getting to work. Now, what does that look like? It's different for everybody. Let's just have a heart to see the work that needs to be done. That's a great place to start. There's a lot of people that we need to reach. And it is true, when we're in it together, we'll reach more people. And we have a hard time being in it together whenever we think things are important when they're not as important as we think we are. Listen, why did John say there were things that he did not include? Why did he say that? There were so many miracles and so many signs and so many wonders and amazing, miraculous, beautiful pictures that I could have told you, but then he said, but I didn't. Because that's not the reason for this book. And there's things, listen, church, that we could do. And it wouldn't be a problem. It wouldn't be a sin necessarily. But we don't need to do it. Because it's not why we're here. So what do? Get a shovel. Let's get in. Let's get together, or remember that we're in this together. And I believe that God will use us to do great things. Nelly. And let's go, Nelly. Let's go, Buster. And let's go, whatever the other names were I made up. But the real one is Buddy. And just remember, we're in it together. We have a lot of people that the Lord wants us to reach. Father, we need you this morning. And so often we get our eyes on the things, not that couldn't be important in the sense of successful, and we get our eyes so often on things that sometimes feel could make a big difference. And maybe it's true, certainly, but at the expense of forgetting the real reason that we're here. And Lord, what a great encouragement from John to know that there were things he didn't include because the purpose of the book was for people to get saved. And what a great message for our church to remember. Ultimately, there's a lot of things you want us to accomplish, but the ultimate reason we're here is so that people could get saved. And so whatever, Lord, you want to do in us, I pray you do it. If somebody this morning is lost, they need to be saved, would you give them courage to take a step of faith before it's too late? Lord, for those of us who perhaps have had a little bit more of a shopping cart mentality, consumer mentality, than a shovel, I would say, mentality, I pray that you'd help us to go along the lines of being a servant, a faithful worker for you, remembering our purpose. Lead us in your path. Help us to be faithful, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.